What does it mean to be in the world but not of the world?
Why did God place the tree of good and evil in the Garden of Eden?
If these questions leave you scratching your head, you're not alone. I'm Inkosi Ploma.
And I'm Ruben Covarrubias. Bible Help Desk starts now. Welcome to Bible Help Desk. I'm here with Inkosi, my friend, and now it's my turn to ask you a question, Inkosi. Okay. And that question is, why do you appreciate being part of this show?
You know, I think about how many resources there is in the world to understand the Bible. Mm. And I think this show does an amazing and awesome job of just bringing it to a place where anyone can understand it. Yeah. So I really appreciate Bible Help Desk and being a part of this show, because as I am presenting these questions, I am getting answers, and it's just fueling me and just enriching me, you know, to have a better understanding of the Bible.
Wow, that's great. And I hope your experience is the experience that our viewers are having as well, because I really like how you place it. We're learning as well along with them. So I hope our viewers have that same experience. So if you're watching and have a question you'd like to have answered from the Bible, we want to hear from you. You can send it in by calling 833-BIBLE-HD and leaving us a voicemail. Or you can send it in via a text to that same number. If you're on Facebook or Instagram, you can message us there at Bible Help Desk Show. You can also drop us a message via email or through our website at hopetv.org/BibleHelpDesk. If you have an email address, it's always good to include that, as it makes us easier to get in touch with you. So Inkosi, I'm excited about the questions we have today. Who will be answering those questions? Who is our first panelist?
Yes, Ruben. We have Pastor Vince McIsaac. Pastor Vinny has pastored in Northern Virginia for the past 11 years and is currently leading a church in Vienna, Virginia. He comes from a social work background and is currently pursuing a doctorate in ministry at Fuller Theological Seminary. So glad to have you here, Pastor Vinny.
As always, it's awesome to be with you guys.
Also joining us today is Dr. A.J. Groeschel. Dr. Groeschel came to us from Brazil and currently pastors in Waynesboro, Virginia. He also teaches philosophy, theology, and law at the Washington Adventist University. He holds a Ph.D. in ethics and systematic theology, and also a J.D., specializing in corporate law and governance. Dr. Groeschel, thank you so much for being with us today.
It's great to be back.
Today's special verse is from Ephesians 6:13, and it says, "Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." It's a verse of victory. With God's armor, we cannot fail. We are protected. And I will encourage you to read Ephesians 6:10 through 20. It talks about the whole armor of God. Mm. Let's pray. Lord Father, we are here. Thank you, God, for being here as well. We ask you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit. Help us, Lord, to put on the whole armor of God and to understand what that means day by day. Lord, as we're here with you, we ask, Lord, for you to shine through. We thank you for your incredible love, your amazing grace, and your everlasting mercy. In Christ Jesus' name, amen.
Well, let's go ahead and jump into our first question, shouldn't we? And it's from Praisey, and it comes to us and it says, "Why did God place the tree of good and evil in the Garden of Eden?" You know what? I've actually thought of this myself. It seems like we could have avoided all of this evil and sin if that tree wouldn't have been there. So I'm going to start with you, Dr. Groeschel. Here's a question on the tree of knowledge of good and evil. It seems like it could have not been there, almost like a cruel trick that it was there. What was God doing by having this tree there?
Well, let's not forget that there were many trees in that garden, and that the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was not even the most important one. Wow. Actually, Genesis chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, I'll read that to you right here. "The Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground the Lord made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life, that's the most important one. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And then verses 16 and 17, and the Lord God commanded the man by saying, of every tree, all of those trees pleasant to the sight and good for food, all of them, of every tree of the garden, you may freely eat. That's freedom as a principle of interaction in God's dynamics with human beings. Freely eat, freely appreciate, freely experiment. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Well, as an attorney, every single contract that we write in order to have any legal effect, it needs to include what we call a penalty clause or penalty clauses. And not just about punishment. They're not about that or the damages. But that clause needs to be there in order for us to understand that we have the option of breaking the agreement or breaking the contract, and that the consequences will be such and such. So God gave humans the ability to reject him and his gifts. So the penalty clause could be invoked at any time. And that's what they did when they ate from that fruit. Wow. But that's just how God governs the universe, with freedom and responsibility. He keeps putting that before us, like in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 15 on. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil, and that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments, his statutes, his judgments, that you may live and multiply. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. But if your heart turns away so that you do not hear and are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I announce to you today that you shall surely perish. That's the penalty clause. You have a choice. So let's choose life.
Wow, so powerful, and pointing us in that direction of the tree of life as well. And I just love the context that you put it in, that we can see here that there is that penalty clause, but we do have the freedom in our decision. Thank you so much, Dr. Groeschel. Pastor Vinny, I want to turn to you now. What can we learn here from the tree of good and evil being placed in the garden?
You know, I think Dr. Groeschel answered it perfectly. My go-to would also be Genesis 2 and the same verses. So I might take a more pragmatic approach to thinking about this problem for a minute. I have a 10-year-old son, and my 10-year-old son loves YouTube, loves Roblox, and he might say to me, Dad, why did you give me a phone if I was going to get into trouble every time I wandered to some corner you didn't want me to be in? And there's a reason. I mean, I'm tracking his phone just like Jesus is tracking us, you know? Like, I'm overseeing just like Jesus is overseeing us, right? But I want my son to grow in maturity, to be able to make decisions and make right. I want to catch him doing right, not catch him doing wrong. And so I have had to start someplace with him and to give him the opportunity to make mistakes, so that he has the opportunity for growth.
Wow. Catch him doing right. I love that. Thank you so much, Pastor Vinny, for your answers. What a great start to our show here with this question. Thank you so much. Well, and Cozy, what question do we have next?
Yes, so our next question is from Clark. It says, how are we supposed to live in the world but not of the world? I want to pass this to Pastor Vinny. What does the Bible have to say about this?
It's a great question, and I think it's a, you know, sort of a common thing we say from the Bible, but I want to turn our attention to something Paul said in Galatians 5:16. In Galatians 5:16, Paul tells us, so I say to you, walk in the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. So how do I live in the world and not live like the world? Well, I'll tell you something. There's a quick, short story, illustration. The other night, I went to dinner with my family. I went to a great restaurant. Shout out to Lotus Asian Food in Vienna. It was just great, you know? And we had all this authentic Asian food. But you know what we didn't have? Was hot dogs, hamburgers, or French fries. You know why? Because we were in an authentic Asian restaurant. And what do you get there? You get authentic Asian food. What am I saying? Paul says, walk in the spirit, you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Be in spiritual places, be spiritually full, order from a spiritual menu, and you will not end up with hot dogs and French fries. There will be no condemnation. There's nothing wrong with doing right. So do right, focus on heaven.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Pastor Vinny. I want to pass this to Dr. Grishel as well. What does the Bible have to say about being in the world but not of the world?
I love the story Pastor Vinny just shared in John 17, actually, where this attempt to refer to Jesus and to quote Jesus in John chapter 17, verses 14 through 19, Jesus is praying for his disciples, for ourselves even. On verse 14, he states, I have given them, my disciples, my followers, your word. Start paying attention to these words that are intentionally put there. Jesus knows what he's talking about. So I have given them your word, talking to the Father. And the world has hated them because they are not of the world. So the world being in opposition in Jesus' mind, as he's sharing with us, to God's word, just as I am not of the world. On verse 15, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. So sanctify them by your truth. And once again, your word is truth. So Jesus is clearly stating here a distinction between the world and his word, which is the truth. So how can I live in this world but not be of the world? Well, because the term that is used here has different connotations. One is referring to the place where we're born, where we live, and that's where we live and breathe, right? It's the world. I cannot be outside of the world, right? But then there's a specific connotation for this term in the Bible that connects it to sin, to selfishness and pride. So the meaning of world here is related to sin and sinful actions. Actually, in 1 John chapter 5, verse 19, that's how John puts it. We know that we are of God, and the whole world, the sinful part, lies under the sway of the wicked one. And then as Pastor Vinny brightly brought to our attention in Galatians chapter 5, you have this clear distinction being brought to light through God's word. Now the works, and I'm reading Galatians chapter 5, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, and the list goes on. Take a dictionary later on and try to go through it, and you will see an x-ray of our situation in the world. So, but Jesus puts it to us and shares through the Apostle Paul. But I also told you in the times past, you need to live by the fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, long-suffering, kindness, goodness. So the key here is to live by the fruit of the Spirit. That also connects to Jesus' prayer in John chapter 17, because he establishes and shares a metaphor of himself being the tree to which we need to be connected to produce the fruit of the Spirit. So Jesus is actually the personification of the tree of life. Stay connected to him. And even though you're in the world, You will not be part of that sinful world.
Mm. Amen. Thank you so much for that those answers. You know, Pastor Vinny's answers kind of had me hungry, you know, but, you know, I think I'm going to full up on the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians 5.
Absolutely.
You know?
Sounds great. Well, if you enjoy studying the Bible on your own, do check out our digital Bible study portal at hope.study. Or if you would prefer to receive Bible study guides through the mail, or even in person, just give us a call and leave us your address. We'll be right back with more questions and answers after these messages.
Welcome back. Bible Help Desk is here to answer your questions from the Bible. If you have a Bible question you'd like answered, you can go ahead and text us your questions or call us and leave us a voicemail at 833-BIBLE-HD. You can also message us via our Facebook or Instagram accounts or visit our website at hopetv.org/BibleHelpDesk.
Today, our panelists answering your questions are Dr. A.J. Groeschel and Pastor Vince McIsaac. So, Nkosi, what is our next question?
Yes, Ruben. So, we have a question from Beverly. Her question says, what does supplication mean? Dr. Groeschel, what does the Bible have to say about supplication?
That's pretty straightforward, right? That's awesome. So the first, the dictionary definition would be a supplication is an act of asking for something honestly and also humbly. But in biblical terms, you'll see a lot of that happening throughout the biblical narrative. So people are not just asking, they're humbly supplicating. Actually, in Psalm 119, verse 117, let my supplication come before you. Deliver me according to your word. Amen. In the Hebrew, supplication here is the word tehina, and that means mercy, asking for mercy, for compassion. And it comes from the root hanan, like in the name Hannah. You might know someone who's named Hannah, right? Yeah. Which is the root word for grace. Wow. Or favor. But why supplicating? Well, Psalm 51, verse 1 gives us a good idea. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, your hesed, your long suffering, according to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgression. So we supplicate because we're not asking based on any right or any merit that we might have. We are supplicating because our assurance is based on God's goodness, on his mercies. In the New Testament, as Paul is describing a scene that he had become used to seeing, a Roman soldier just getting prepared to go to fulfill his duties and his daily activities, the soldier would dress himself up and take his helmet, take his sword, his shield, and right before he left the house, the soldier would kneel and would pray to his gods, asking for protection, and that protection was based on the soldier's devotion and faithfulness to those deities. But Paul reverses that rationale in principle in Ephesians chapter 6. Verses 17 and 18, and it reads, we should take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance, and once again, supplication for all the saints. We supplicate because we're not asking based on any right or merit that we might have. We supplicate because our assurance is based on God's goodness and on his mercies.
Amen. Wow. Thank you so much for that, Dr. Groeschel. I'm thinking about like your heart posture, you know, your posture when you're asking God. Yeah. It's like it's nothing that we can do, but it's just him. And he gives us that opportunity, you know, to really ask. Yeah. and in fullness in our whole heart, you know. Ah, that's awesome.
Right, so we're learning a lot here.
I'm learning, man. So I know we have so many questions to get to. What's the next question?
Let's go ahead and we're excited here. So I'm excited for this question as well that came to us via Facebook from Alyssa, and it says, I want to know more about God's blessings and curses. Now, Dr. Groeschel, I want to turn to you. I know in a previous episode we talked a little bit about blessings and curses, and here we have someone else who is wanting to know more about them. What does the Bible say about God's blessings, and what does it say about his curses?
Yeah, and that's, once again, it's holy ground, right? Because we're dealing with someone, Elisa, she's coming and she's sharing, well, I want to know more about that, because that's a serious topic within the Bible, but also a topic that brings along a lot of misunderstanding in the image of who God really is, right? The very first instance of a blessing in the Old Testament, the Hebrew for that is barach. It comes to Adam and Eve and is followed by a command. So God is blessing Adam and Eve in Genesis chapter 2, and he, after the blessing, comes a command. Be fruitful and multiply, subdue, kavash, and have dominion, rada, over the earth and the animals and all of that. So first principle here, blessings come for a reason, with a purpose. A curse would be the consequence of ignoring or disobeying that purpose. I'll say that again. Blessings come for a reason and with a purpose. A curse would be the consequence of ignoring and disobeying that purpose. The same method was applied again to Abraham, Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Now the Lord had said to Abraham, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. Why? There's always a purpose for the blessing. You, so that you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So listen to this. Freedom is not an absolute concept. We all have freedom to make choices, but we are never free to choose the consequences of those choices. The notion, this idea of causes and consequences permeates the entire biblical narrative. We're clearly reminded of that in every confirmation of the covenant. For example, Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 9 and 10. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself, just as he has sworn to you. If you keep the commandments of the Lord, there's a blessing and there's a command. Remember, there's a purpose, there's a plan of the Lord. If you keep the commandments of your God and walk in his ways, then all peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. But that afraid of you there, yare in the Hebrew, it means honor, respect, awe. And that kind of respect should come as a consequence of people looking into our choices and really thinking, wow, those guys might be doing something right. Yeah. Now, Jesus himself did something very similar when he contrasted blessings and woes in the New Testament, makarios and wai, the calamity, the curse, or the dreadful. Take, for example, Matthew chapter 5, verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God, a blessing and a purpose, a plan. And then the contrast comes in Matthew chapter 23, verse 16. Woe to you, blind guides, who say, whoever swears by the temple, it is nothing, but whoever swears by the gold of the temple, he is obliged to perform it. So you see, sight, blessings or curses, life or death, we're free to make our choices, but never to choose the consequences.
Wow, such a great exploration there into blessings and curses. And I just love that blessings come with a purpose. Thank you so much, Dr. Groeschel. Pastor Vinny, I want to turn to you here as we close here. What can we add here when it comes to blessing and curses?
Yeah, I love it. I love everything that was just said, this idea that God is not the author of curses. Curses are the result of evil in the world and our alliance with it. So I want to take maybe a little devotional look or thought on this concept. And I want to go to my favorite Bible verse in the whole Bible. John 10, verse 10. John 10, verse 10. It's the thief that comes only to steal and kill and destroy. But I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Listen, there is evil in this world. If you choose to align yourself with it, you will get the consequences that the good doctor told us. Yeah. But Jesus has come to nullify that evil influence in the world and in your life. And the way Jesus has come to do that is to give you back life, but not just any life. Life at fullness, which is eternal life with him.
Wow. Amen. Thank you so much. That's so insightful and so powerful that we see that God is here to give us that life to the fullest. Pat Savini and Dr. Grossel, thank you so much for joining us today.
And thank you all for watching. Remember, you can send in your questions. But in the meantime, take care.
God bless.